Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cut down day in the NFL, so you will see a lot of news from around the league, including some names that will be cut today. Diontae Johnson released in Cleveland. Look, he's, you know, a receiver at this point who's got to be still in his 20s. Obviously, he's had some good seasons, the seasons he had in Pittsburgh. But last few years struggled. Where was he last year before Cleveland? Was he in Baltimore last year?
I believe that's true.
He was in Houston last year.
Oh.
No, he was three teams last year. Carolina, Baltimore, and Houston. He had some issues, if I recall, last year. Washington, though, right now... Noah Brown's their number two. I thought it was interesting what Sean Springs said about Noah Brown, that he is, you know, a borderline number one, that you need two number ones. I don't think most of us would view Noah Brown as a number one. I don't view him as a number one. But I do think that he developed some chemistry early in the season with Jaden and would have been a big factor had he been healthy down the stretch. All right, 301-230-0980. I was asked this morning... doing a radio hit, what's the best case for Washington in 2025? And I said, the Super Bowl. And I believe that. What do you think? 301-230-0980. Eric in Winchester. Thanks for holding, Eric. Go ahead.
Kevin, I definitely agree with you that, you know, winning the Super Bowl would be attainable for us. I mean, if you look at the schedule, it's the first year we've ever been able to look at the schedule and go, I think we could win every game. I mean, you know, obviously we won't win every game, but it would be hard week to week right now as the team is constructed to go, as you, over the years, you would look at the schedule and go, we'll lose this game, we'll lose this. I mean, I really believe that we could win. You look at them and you go, I think we'll be able to win every game. You know, in the moment you'll think, but obviously we will lose some games, but that's pretty amazing for us to literally at this point, you know, before the season starts, you start looking at the schedule and you go, we should beat them. We should beat them. It's hard for you to look at it and go, we're going to lose a game. You know, obviously we will, but
yeah, I know. You're
a fan.
You've said that a few times. I don't look at the schedule and just say win, 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 win. I mean, it's so hard to do. I do think that they're going to be more likely than not favored in a lot more games than they are underdogs. And I think, you know, when, you know, how they look at the season long point spreads, I think Washington was favored in like 13 of the 17 games, mm-hmm. something like that. Maybe it was 13-3 with one game that was even. We have no idea what it'll look like when we get there. I would certainly think that, you know, week two on a short, you know, turnaround to Lambeau won't be easy. I think Kansas City on a Monday night's not going to be easy. I think, you know, two Philly games at the end of the year, you know, a Detroit team at home. I don't know what you just don't know, really. Every year we say the same thing. It's like you think you got it figured out even early in the season and things change so dramatically. But this is the best, obviously, we've all felt about this team. It's the highest expectation level we've ever had. It's the most anticipation for a season since, you know, I think Kevin in Arlington corrected me, and I think accurately so. I thought it was since 2000 or maybe 2012, but he said the Gibbs season in 2004 was really the most anticipated, but for different reasons. In terms of the opportunity at hand to compete for the Super Bowl, we were in the NFC Championship game just 7 months ago. I think almost to the day, 7 months ago. And they're going to be one of the teams people think has a chance, and I think that's best case. I don't think it's a reach at all. Thanks, Eric. Let's go to Rob in Frederick. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, you were talking about home field advantage. I remember in 87, we went in as a wild card or something, and we ended up with the home field advantage because
yep.
the number one seed got knocked off.
49ers,
the Bears. Yeah.
Yeah,
so there's always that possibility. And the other thing is, I think we're a little better at corner than we was last year. I think Amos has got a little better head on him than St. Jude's, because St. Jude's would always come up with a stupid penalty at the wrong damn time.
Yeah. Well, I think the key defensively is, first and foremost, they got to be better stopping the run. You know, we've talked a lot about this, but it's like Jacobs in week two, Genty in week three, Bijan in week four, you know, Hampton and Najee Harris in week five. You know, you get to down the road, Gibbs, you got to face Barkley twice. You got to face Achain, Aaron Jones. They're just a ton of running backs and quarterbacks on their schedule this year. Maybe they're not there by the time you get to that game, but last year, they had a problem stopping the run. This year, it could really cost them games, because the number one way to beat Washington going into almost every matchup will be to keep Washington's offense off the field. And if you can run the football against our defense, you can do that, and you can shorten the game. And you know, this is, we talk about the schedule we're facing. We are going to be the team on a lot of schedules that teams and their fans say, yeah, that's probably a loss. That hasn't happened basically forever. Let's go to Lap in D.C. Lap, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? How's it going, bro? Good, man. I think, yeah, Super Bowl, man. If not this year, mighty close. And, you know, in the next couple of years, especially since we got Terry for another four more years, which is very key, we've upgraded, as everybody has alluded to, we've upgraded all the positions of need for sure. And then you just have a chance. And I want to see how we are, man, battle-tested within a division, battle-tested with a harder schedule, man. And one thing I can take my hat off on is Jaden, man. He looks really comfortable. You know, his chemistry with the team and Cliff, man, is going to be key. And it looks like he got it, man. So we're going to see, man. And, you know, with JD5, Kevin, you always got a chance, man. So I'm excited.
That's the way I view it. I mean, look, fingers crossed, knock on wood, do whatever you want if you're superstitious. But if he is healthy, they're going to have a chance in every game they play. I just cannot see a significant, you know, backwards move offensively. Are they going to be as clutch as, are they going to deliver on every fourth down? They were 20 of 23. That's unprecedented. It's going to be hard for them to duplicate that. And that kept a lot of drives, you know, alive. That, I think, accounted for, ultimately, it led to like 100-plus points, their fourth down conversions. But why were they successful on fourth down? Because they have a cheat code at quarterback. And as long as that cheat code exists, then they're going to be pretty successful on fourth down in 2025. But it's also possible, and I pointed this out with Josh Allen's second year of starting. You know, he had a bunch of comebacks, fourth quarter comebacks, a lot of close games in that first full year of starting. The next year, they were so good offensively that they didn't have those same situations that they were confronted with week in and week out. They blew people out. We talked to Bill Barnwell about this last week, and he said that is definitely, you know, one of the things that sometimes when people say, well, they can't, you know, win all those close games, or they can't convert all those fourth downs, they may not have to in 2025. Manuel, go ahead. Manuel's calling from California. What's the best case in 2025? Go ahead. You there, Manuel? Put Manuel on hold. Let's go to Aveen.
Hey, Kevin. You're not crazy for saying Super Bowl. And I just go into this season with this mindset. You know, we were a top five offense last season. At the very least, we're going to comfortably be a top 10 offense. So going into every game, I'm thinking our offense is probably going to be better than your offense. And if your team has a good offense, our quarterback is probably going to be better than your quarterback. He's probably going to make more plays to help us win the game than your quarterback. And I know defense is important, but in the NFL, modern NFL, good offense beats good defense. And you just look at the good defenses on our schedule. The Broncos got smoked when they had to play good offenses like the Ravens, the Chargers, the Bengals. You look at the Chargers defense, they got smoked when they had to play the Buccaneers, the Ravens. And the Eagles, I mean, we put up 36 on the Eagles in the game in late December with only 24 minutes time possession. And we played pretty well against them in the championship game. We were moving the ball up and down the field. We just couldn't stop turning the ball over. So good offense beats good defense. And, you know, we're a trendy pick to everybody saying we're going to regress and all that because we had an easy schedule last year. But,
others,
you know,
I think it's a mix with them. I mean, we just played the Damian Woody. He said Super Bowl as well. I've heard other people say Super Bowl. But I've heard the step back because of the close games and the fourth downs and the sophomore slump and the whole thing. But go ahead.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, more analytics people will say, you know, step back because it's the easy schedule. But they leave off that, you know, we want back-to-back road games and road playoff games. And our offense probably played the Eagles' defense better than anybody else post-September. So you have that. You have the fourth down luck. I mean, the Bills and Chiefs are always at the top of the league in fourth downs because they have good playmaking quarterbacks. And it wasn't just fourth down. We were a lead on second down, a lead on third down, a lead in the red zone. And then the last thing people say is the older roster. But, you know, I don't think we're relying on Zach Ertz or Lattimore or Bobby Wagner. You know, like if one of them goes down, it's not going to be the end of our team. I think we have way more depth than people think. So I just think those things can be easily debunked.
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, debunked is maybe a little bit too aggressive, but I definitely think that there is a way to refute a lot of that stuff and a way to push back to say, yeah, that doesn't, you know, regression to the mean or whatever they want to say doesn't apply in this particular conversation, in part because of the quarterback. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, finish it up for us. Best case for 2025 is what?
Best case is this team is 15-2. We beat the Ravens 34-20 in the Super Bowl. That's the best case.
Why don't you lay out the whole playoff run? Who did we beat in the playoffs?
In the playoffs, we beat the first game we beat Seattle because we got a Venzo loss that we lose to them after we go 8-0 to Kansas City and we lose to Seattle. We beat them 31-17. Then we play the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan's homecoming, and we beat the crap out of them 38-0. Then we win the Super Bowl. After we win the Super Bowl.
I love that you got the whole thing mapped out. Why. This is what
here's
I used to
why.
Do.
But here's the reason why.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why, though, Kevin.
Yeah.
Dalen Lane is going to be that third receiver. And contrary to what people say, Noah Brown is going to do Noah Brown things. He's probably going to get hurt probably sometime either late September, early October. But Dalen Lane is going to be featured. Jalen Lane is going to be featured in the first game when they play the Giants. He's going to be that third receiver. He's going to be so make it so difficult to defend along with Rodriguez and Bill Merritt. You have a running game and a third receiver. It is almost impossible to defend this offense, especially when you got an athletic quarterback like him.
What about McCaffrey at tight end with some bulk?
Well, you got Zach Ertz, but see, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to try to take away Terry, Debo, and roll everything over to Zach. But when Jalen starts going off, Jalen Lane starts going off, people are going to say, well, damn. And then you got Merritt, and then you got Rodriguez. See, we didn't have a running game last year. That's the scary part. We went 12-5, Kevin, without a real legitimate running game.
What's the final score in the NFC Championship game again?
38-0.
38-0 at home over Kyle and the 49ers.
Because what's-his-face is going to have a meltdown in the game. Brock Purdy's going to throw three interceptions. Two of them going to be for touchdowns. But more importantly, Washington is going to be – it's going to be – no one – everybody's going to be banking on a sophomore slump. The problem is what you're going to see is Adam Peters – has pulled off a Pittsburgh Steeler of 51 years ago where the draft of 20 – I called you a month ago, Kevin, and told you, if this team becomes a dynasty, it's going to be because of this year's draft.
The five
I'm
players.
I'm telling you. The five players they got in this draft.
Right.
And I think it's a possibility.
Do you have them losing to Seattle for the first loss because it's a short week coming off an emotional win on Monday night at Arrowhead?
And they're 8-0. And they're 8-0. They're going to be 8-0. And that's going to be an emotional game. They're going to be flat as hell. It's going to be a Saturday game. They'll lose that game. The last game of the season. Right, on Sunday night. They'll lose the last game of the season with Philadelphia because they won't really need it.
Exactly.
Because they'll have home field advantage. Right.
Yeah, no, I see where you're going, but
Kevin, look, 12-5 without a real running game?
With a bad defense.
And the defense, I think, will be a top 15. top 15, but it's going to be mostly on pass rush. But I'm telling you, Kevin, this team is going to be – this team will rival the 91 Skins.
Because is Jaden the MVP 15-2 and the best team in the NFC, maybe the NFL?
It's clearly Jaden.
Yeah.
Clearly Jaden. He'll go from rookie of the year, MVP, and it's unfortunate because I happen to like Lamar Jackson and I like the Ravens. It's just that I think in the Super Bowl, they're going to build this Super Bowl up as the Beltway, Jaden versus Lamar, Jaden versus Lamar. It's going to be built up like that in Santa Clara. And I think Lamar's going to get off to a rough start because he's going to be nervous. Jaden's going to be calm, cool, and collective. And even though they're going to make a comeback,
what's the weather going to be like? Because it's an outdoor stadium. January, February, Santa Clara. What's the weather going to be like?
Oh man, now you messing with me, Kevin.
No, you got the whole thing figured out. I'm curious. Is it a cloudy, wet, damp day, or is it sunny and spectacular?
It'll be somewhat. Look, Kevin, to say they can go to Super Bowl and win it. What is so wrong with
you're not
what's
nuts. Well, you are nuts, and I love you for it. You're completely nuts. We all are to a certain degree. But the crazy part about it is that everything you described is possible with this team. It's true.
Well,
I think there's a chance they could be much better on offense than they were last year in year two.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do too.
Because you have a running game. And you have a running game, and you got a no line, and
you got quarterback year two. That's
yes,
yeah. This is a dude that doesn't. You know, he's
Kevin,
not.
Kevin, let me say this. If they put up 30 plus points against the Giants without breaking a sweat, and then they go that Thursday and they blow out the Packers,
here we go.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. If they win two games in blowouts. Jay's a 91.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I'm not pushing back on you other than just having fun with you. I think that there's a chance that this is easily the best offensive team in the NFC this year with the best quarterback. My concern is we got 30-plus against the Giants, and they got 28 in the ball with 2 minutes to go.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think the Giants are going to keep Russell Wilson. If they put up 30 points against the Giants, I think Russell will turn the ball over a couple of times.
Okay.
I think the difference between this team this year and last year they couldn't really depend on the running game. Kevin, you know that. This year is different.
We'll see if they can depend on the running game this year. I like Rodriguez. The rookie looks okay, but he's a rookie.
And I like Ekeler.
All right.
I like both of them, so I think it'll work. Kevin, it's great talking to you, bro. I love you, man.
Good job, Mark. All right, when we come back, Stanford Steve from ESPN. You'll hear Stanford Steve preview the upcoming college football season. We'll keep you posted on the cut down to 53, so keep it here all day long. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. You can watch us on our YouTube channel. Just hit the like button and the subscribe button when you get there.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
There is there are now multiple reports out there that Washington is gauging interest and that there are multiple teams interested in trading for cornerback Noah Igbinoghu. There you go. They're comfortable with everything they have. What could they get for him? I honestly have no idea. I would consider his value to be higher than Brian Robinson Jr.'s, believe it or not. So maybe some sort of conditional fifth rounder, or a fifth round pick. But that's a guess. All right. College football gets underway in earnest. I mean, there was a few games last weekend. But we get the full week one. Their games Thursday night, Friday night, and then Saturday. It's Texas, Ohio State, high noon on Fox from Columbus. Number one versus number two. First time in history that one's met two in the opening week of the college football season. Stanford Steve from Scott Van Pelt's ESPN Sports Center and from ESPN's College Game Day was on my podcast the other day. Steve is very much a college football guy and makes picks every Saturday. Did very well with his picks last year on College Game Day. He'll be part of the crew with Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit and all the guys this Saturday. By the way, Lee Corso's final show, final game day, leading into the 12 o'clock games at noon. I started off by asking Steve if the game Saturday at noon, Texas and Ohio State, if that is a game that features the two teams that will be standing at the end.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not in my opinion. I think the two better teams are playing at Clemson that night.
Wow.
I really diving in on this stuff. I look at, it's really different this year, Kevin, because last year when we had this conversation, you know, you talk about the Will Howards, the Cam Wards, you know, the guys that were coming to a school for 1 year and that the school was buying in on a 1 year transfer quarterback. Now, when you look at it, a bunch of the teams, it's all quarterbacks that have been within the program. You look at Arch, right, at Texas, come through the program, staying at Ohio State. He committed when Saban was the coach at Alabama. When he retired, he left for Columbus. You go down, Nussmeier at LSU, Klubnik at Clemson. So Aller at Penn State, the Carr kid at Notre Dame, Ty Simpson at Alabama. Everywhere you look, Miami's like the one outlier that's going with the transfer. So I think there's a comfortableness within teams that have their guy, and there's not this not knowing of if this is going to work out. You know, does that make sense to you? Like,
they've
seen these guys.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
And so I like that for a sense. I talked to people at Alabama and Georgia. There's a real strong, quiet confidence where it's like, hey, go ahead, talk about Ohio State. They won it last year, and talk about Texas with Arch, and talk about Clemson with Dabo being back. Like, they like what they have at those two schools, and they're laying in the weeds and have some opportunities early on to really show what they have. So I lean towards I did a top five, and I had Clemson 1, Penn State 2, Notre Dame 3.
Wow.
So
no Texas, no Ohio State.
No, I believe they were Texas lost a lot on the line of the scrimmage, man. Like, everybody's going to talk about Sark and the creative play call and this and that. But, like, they had NFL guy after NFL guy after NFL guy on the offensive and defensive line drafted. In Ohio State, I just think there's Ohio State's never going to rebuild, but as they reload, there's things that you want to see, and it sounds like they want to see more out of the quarterback, and that's why Keenholz, hung around with saying longer than people expected. But I love the idea that they're playing each other in these big early games, because one loss doesn't crush you anymore.
Right.
And also, with no preseason games in college, you really find out what you got, and you have plenty of time to make up for it. And that's the best thing about college football now. I mean, Ohio State lost the worst possible game they could have last year and got it together and won the national championship.
That game was on night on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
I just still can't believe Ohio State lost to that Michigan team last year.
Yep. And,
crazy.
And to their credit, they come back and they win the national championship. That's the good stuff. That's like, I don't know if Ryan Day gets enough credit for that and what he was up against, knowing how long that 2 weeks was.
Remember, we were talking about job security after they lost that game.
Yep.
So you and I talk a lot about quarterbacks when we have these conversations, and I don't think this is going to be any different, because I just don't get the excitement over Cade Klubnik. Why do people think that he actually has a chance to be a Heisman Trophy winner and the first pick in the draft next April?
I just look at what he's done in that in the second year of that offense. And secondly, he's got NFL receivers now. And it's been so long since Clemson. I mean, going back to the Deshaun Watson days where they had guys. But I also look at last year where they lost their running back, Mafah, who's on an NFL roster somewhere. And they really had to throw the ball. And then you go back to the situations that they were in where it was must win, you know, in the ACC championship game. And I actually watched the Texas-Clemson game last night. There's some freak turnovers off tip balls in that game. But I just I mean,
Texas was the better team, though.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, it was one of those, is this a three-score game or is it a one-score game, you know? Like, going into that game.
God, I had Texas for the limit in that game last year. Loved them. I just thought Clemson was just so overrated. Just did not like them. In part because of the way I felt about the quarterback. But anyway, continue. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so when Mafah got hurt, he had to shoulder a bunch of his stuff, and he produced. I think it was 36 touchdowns and 6 picks. Through, you know, top 5 rating when you want to look at the QBR numbers and people want to do that and people are going to point to their schedule. I get it. But then I looked at, like, McShay put out a mock and, like, the two defensive linemen are in the top 8 picks, Klubnik's up there. So it's just a combination of things that I really think he is set up to succeed. I mentioned the receivers when you talk about Williams and Wesco and Moore, you know, they got some wiggle and some juice. And the ACC is not what the SEC or the Big Ten is. So when you go down the schedule, tricky game at Georgia Tech, who I think is going to be very good, and then the game at South Carolina at the end of the year. So it's set up. The road is there. But when you look at this day and age of college football and you talk about returning production, I want that. And nobody has more than Clemson, so that combines with my thoughts on what I feel about their talent, and I love the addition of Tom Allen on defense. I think that guy's a great coordinator, and he left Penn State to take over the Clemson job, and I expect big things from Clemson this year. I've also said if they beat LSU, I could see them going undefeated.
And LSU's had problems with these opening games during the Brian Kelly era here. You know, that Florida State game from a few years ago comes to mind.
They lost twice to them. Yeah. They lost in New Orleans on a botched extra point. And then the next year they played in Orlando and Florida State just gave it. You know, we saw Keon Coleman and all those guys. They dominated. But I said this to all my LSU buddies down there, too. I'm like, I love your team. I love Brian Kelly. I just don't like you week one. I think they're going to the playoff. The schedule sets up. They absolutely violated the portal as far as defensive linemen. The defense is healthy. They're going to play Perkins at that star position, which gets him in space, and he can rush the passer, which is what everybody wants. They revamped the secondary again, but it's bona fide starters from other programs. And the difference in the Sloan offense, who's their offense coordinator, as opposed to when Jaden was there with Denbrock, that's where I see it. They really struggle to run the football, and they had 4 offensive linemen drafted. So is there balance? That's where they got into trouble last year when they had that 3-game losing streak, too, is they didn't take an onus in running the football. And when I think of LSU, the great teams, that's what they did. They always had a guy there, and there was a balance there. So that's one thing that's got to get fixed for LSU when I look at them is having more balance, because it's only going to help your quarterback when you can run the football and put the ball in the running back's stomach.
James Franklin's team last year had a 4th-quarter lead in the national semifinal. They ended up losing to Notre Dame. That was, I think, a necessary run for him. Are they good enough, and is he good enough to win the whole thing?
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. I go back, and now we're going to do this, Kevin, with these quarterbacks getting millions of dollars to stay in college. Like, I'm sitting there watching that game with Nick Saban, and Franklin decides, all right, there's minimal time left. We're going to go for it. Tie game, we're going to go for it. He put the ball in his quarterback's hand. James Franklin didn't throw that interception. James Franklin did not coach Drew Aller to throw back across the field in a 2 minutes. You know, that's on the quarterback, man. And they're going to get paid this money. They got to take some more accountability. I love Kotelniki. I still don't understand how Warren didn't get the ball once against Ohio State on the goal line when he ran it down there for you. And I love Knowles coming over from Ohio State. They, I mean, when you look at them and watch them, they are as impressive a team physically now. The offensive line is 7-8 deep. The running backs are back. The receivers they brought in, I read, they had three receivers come in, and they accounted for 23 touchdown catches last year. And the receivers they had last year at Penn State only caught 12. And that includes not catching one ball against Notre Dame. So they addressed their needs. Defense, I think, is going to be lights out when you look across the board of the NFL guys they have there. The schedule is easy. And they get Oregon coming in the 27th. Which will be an all-eyes moment because they don't play anybody before that. But, no, I expect Penn State to be there in the national championship game.
Digress real quickly. Warren or Loveland, better NFL tight end?
I've watched them both a bunch this spring, and I think Warren is getting there. Warren, we used to call it collision escape, where you're running a route and you just collide into the linebacker, knowing that you're bigger, stronger, faster, and that's how you get open. You know, there's collision releases, all that. Loveland's way more polished as a route runner, but Warren just has to realize he can't do that anymore like he did in college. These guys are bigger and stronger, and he'll find it out. He learned a lot in that first game against the Ravens. Loveland is got serious juice. He'll put up better numbers. And he's more polished. He looks better. So I would leave Loveland.
Interesting. I was surprised that Loveland went before Warren, but you know tight ends for sure. All right.
I just look at the system also.
All right. So
drafted him.
The net of it is you think a better chance of a national championship preview is LSU-Clemson on next Saturday, Labor Day weekend, instead of Texas-Ohio State. Give me a team or two that you think from sort of the back of the pack ends up threatening a playoff berth and could be dangerous when we get to December and January.
Texas A&M. I love what Elko does. They got a schedule that'll give them opportunities. They go to Notre Dame early. They got a quarterback that's back that lit the world on fire last year when he got thrust into it. And then they struggled in their biggest game. Texas, you know, dominated them on the lines of scrimmage, and they scored 7 points in a win and take all, go to the SEC title game at home. I was there, and it was tough to watch. They got super humbled, but I think the world of Elko as a defensive mind. They get a kid from NC State and Casey Concepcion, which is exactly what they need. I thought he was the best receiver in the portal, and that's a kid that Marcel Reed needs. They have an awesome offensive line set up. They're deep there. You know they're going to have talent on defense. Their running backs are extraordinary. And they're a team that is my dark horse in the SEC. I really, really like what they bring to the table.
Sticking in the SEC, how much do you like South Carolina, and how much do you like their quarterback, Sellers?
I like Sellers. I don't love the team this year. I think they are a team, when you look at what you lost and you talk about returning, I mean, they lost guys. I mean, that defense was – I put them up there with anybody at the end of the season, you know, with the games that they won. But they're all gone. You know, now, instead of having a young, you know, Stewart opposite three NFL guys on that defensive line, he's all by himself. So now teams can game plan for him. Sellers, I hate to be easy, but, like, he just has to play more football. You know, you saw the good, but there still are plenty of games in there where it wasn't pretty. And, you know, he makes two runs against Clemson, and those are the two biggest plays in the game, and they win. You know, in the bowl game, you know, Illinois gave it to them. And that's going to be more of what South Carolina looks like this year than as opposed to last year. So they are a wait-and-see team for me. I really like Bama, Georgia, A&M, LSU. I like better than South Carolina. I put them in the category of, say, with Auburn.
Okay.
With just so much you want to see. Like, they could knock off a couple of those top teams, no doubt. But, you know, when you look at this, can they get to 10-2, or is it more look like an 8-4? I lean towards the 8-4s there.
Is the best player in America Jeremiah Smith, wide receiver, Ohio State?
Yeah, I would lean that way. When you look at what he's capable of doing and having a relationship with Chip Kelly and just being able to talk to him about what he did off the field and hearing what guys, you know, thought of him and the way he stepped into a senior laden team that really needed him and just took everything in stride, I just thought it's really, really special. So, yes, I believe he's the best player.
How many games does Maryland win?
Oh, you know, the schedule, if you want, I mean, Penn State and Ohio State and all those, they would die for Maryland's schedule. But Maryland doesn't have the personnel of those teams.
Right.
So when you look at what they're up against, they got a decision to make at quarterback. You know, you got the Martin kid from UCLA, and then you got Malik Washington, who's the local kid who looks absolutely fantastic. And you know Locks is going to get receivers. They went in the portal and got, I think, Farouk from Oklahoma, a stud. But now you look at what they lost. They lost their starting quarterback, their starting running back, both tight ends, top defensive linemen, two linebackers, three defensive backs all transferred out. Like, it's really hard to assess what you have. And, you know, you go to Wisconsin for your first Big Ten game on the 20th. You got to be 3-0 going into that game, and that's a winnable game. And that's kind of where I think it goes, because then, you know, you get Washington, Nebraska coming in. You got to go out to UCLA. I'll say 6-6. They go to a bowl.
Wow.
It's you know, the back end where you got Michigan. Like, how beat up are you? It always feels like, you know, well, they don't have depth on the lines of scrimmage, and you know they always had to play Penn State late. And I mean, even a Rutgers team that's going to be improved. You know, those teams are built from the line of scrimmage out, whereas Maryland, you watch them and it's like, wow, look at that skill guy, look at that skill guy. So, you know, a big step is the quarterback situation. If it sounds like they want Malik to be the guy, but, you know, you got to be able to protect him, and that's the one thing I worry about. So 6-6, I believe, is the ceiling.
At Stanford Steve 82 on X on Twitter. He'll be a part of College Game Day once again, and that kicks off Saturday morning in Columbus, leading into Texas and Ohio State. That game's actually on Fox, but it's also going to be a special occasion, as it will be Lee Corso's final show. By the way, he mentioned Maryland. We have not talked a lot of Terps. We will talk a little bit more leading up to this weekend, maybe even on tomorrow's show. But they really do have one of those schedules that if they had, I think, a team from a couple of years ago with, you know, a Leah Tungavailoa at quarterback, they don't have Ohio State and Penn State on the schedule this year. They open up with Florida Atlantic at home in College Park Saturday at noon. They're a 14.5-point favorite. Northern Illinois and then Towson. And then they're at Wisconsin. They've got Washington, Nebraska at home, at UCLA, Indiana at home, at Rutgers, at Illinois. Illinois, in terms of the schedule, is the highest ranked team preseason they have on their schedule. They're ranked 12th. Michigan is on the schedule late in the year. Michigan's got that highly touted quarterback that basically, I think, Portnoy and some others paid for to leave LSU and go to Michigan, or renege on the LSU commitment, and then they close with Michigan State. Will be interesting to see if the Terps can put something together and what the quarterback situation looks like. Malik Washington, a 6'5", 230-pound, highly touted quarterback out of the area. We'll see how quickly he gets into the lineup as a true freshman. Looking forward to the Terp season. Looking forward to the opener on Saturday against FAU. All right, when we come back, you know, we kind of lost track of the NFL Top 100 list. Well, Jaden made his appearance, but ESPN put out a Top 100 player list as well. Where did he land on that list? That and more, including an update on all of the cuts that Washington's made as they are moving down towards 53 by 4 p.m. today. Stay tuned for that. Our guy Max will have an update. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
That's right, Kevin. And here's what's happening on this Tuesday, August 26th. Diana Rossini and multiple reports across the NFL. The Commanders have been gauging multiple teams' interest in cornerback Noah Igbinoghene. Some sources say Noah I was a 2020 Dolphins first-round pick and can provide secondary depth for teams looking to add to their cornerback room. But also, two of the biggest NFL holdouts ended yesterday. First, with wide receiver Terry McLaurin signing his 3-year, $96 million extension to remain in Washington. Then, Trey Hendrickson and his camp came to a deal with the Cincinnati Bengals to play out this year with a $14 million pay bump. He is now set to make $30 million this season. Loads of movement around the NFL as we rapidly approach the 4 p.m. cut deadline. The Raiders have been quite active as they traded for Kenny Pickett last night and signed Amari Cooper to a one-year deal. Running back Audric Estime was waived by the Broncos, and the Giants have released quarterback Tommy DeVito. The Commanders have released linebacker Duke Riley, corners Esong Bassey and Bobby Price, D lineman Jalen Holmes, defensive end Cleland Farrell, defensive tackle Norrell Pollard, center Nick Harris, tackles Tyree Phillips and Foster Sorrell, and wide receivers Braylon Sanders, Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, and Chris Moore. More on that throughout the day. Final cuts will be done at 4 p.m. The Nats, they lose to the Yankees by a score of 10-5. Tough night for Brad Lord as he goes 4 1/3 inning, giving up 7 runs on 8 hits. Cam Schlittler had a phenomenal night, throwing 6 scoreless innings, including 8 strikeouts. The Nats, they will reset versus the Yankees tonight. First pitch at 7:05. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:35 on The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So that NFL Top 100 list continues to get counted down. This is the list where the players vote on the best players in the NFL, 100 all the way down to 1. They have gotten into the top 20 now, and they are at 17. Dexter Lawrence was just revealed as the 17th best player in the NFL. We wondered where Jaden would land. Team-wise, Washington put more players into this top 100 list than they ever have since the list was created. We had Tunsil come in at 86, Bobby Wagner at 74, Frankie Louvu at 70, Terry at 52, and Jaden Daniels came in at number 21. It's easy to do the math to figure out which quarterbacks are left to go. Well, Jalen Hurts came in at 19, ahead of Jaden Daniels. Wouldn't be my choice, but ahead of him is Jalen Hurts, and there are another 4 quarterbacks to go, and that would be Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes, and Allen. So Jaden will end up being the 6th best quarterback in the league, according to the players. And just to give you an idea about the difference between where Jaden and Jalen Hurts reside and then kind of what's next on the list, after Jaden at 21, you have the next quarterback is at Baker Mayfield at 50. I'm sorry, C.J. Stroud at 39, and then Baker Mayfield at 50. So big difference between where they have Jaden and then who the quarterback that would be number 7. Now, ESPN just put out a top 100 player list as well. This was a list compiled by NFL analysts and insiders at ESPN. And on this list, Terry came in. There were only three players on the list. Tunsil came in at 95. Terry came in at 74. And Jaden came in at 24. But Jaden came in as the fifth best quarterback in the league. They had Jalen Hurts much lower. Ahead of him were Burrow, Jackson, Allen, and Mahomes. Burrow was the fifth best player in the league. Jackson, the fourth best player. Allen, the second. And Mahomes, the best player in the league. I know we've talked a lot about these lists, you know, especially during the summer as they were, you know, coming out. I think that that's the list of quarterbacks. And I don't need to put Jaden super close to the top five, and he's not here. He's at 24 on the list, and then the next quarterback is Burrow at five. But, man, it'd be hard for me to take any other quarterback in the league over him. It really would. I was looking through this list, and there were a couple of players that didn't necessarily surprise me, but I was kind of glad to see on the list. I think one of the most underrated players in the league who's not super underrated anymore, and I think they will be an interesting team this upcoming season, but Trey McBride has quietly become one of the best tight ends in football. He comes in on this list at 44. I think he was pretty high on the players list as well. I will check that out. But he has developed very quietly into a top two, top three tight end in football. He is that good at tight end. I think, you know, Kelce, obviously, Bowers, Kittle. But Kelce now, you know, kind of growing out of that. I would say Kittle, Bowers, and probably McBride. Sam Laporta is really good in Detroit. Kelce, we'll see if he's got anything left in the tank this year. And then Terry, by the way, if you're wondering, on the ESPN list, let's see, 4, 8, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's 11th on the receiver list. And on the players list, based on what's left at wide receiver, he's probably going to be 13th. So again, that's kind of where we've, you know, I think a lot of us have always had him in that 10 to 14 range in the league. The ESPN list actually had Jefferson higher ranked than Chase. Pretty close. I think Jefferson is a route runner, maybe all-time great for sure. NFL cutting down to 53. You know, there's no major surprises so far. You heard Max update the list. And again, Washington, according to reports, perhaps gauging interest in trying to trade cornerback Noah Igbinoghene. So we'll see if he ends up getting dealt. I would guess no more than a fifth-round kind of selection. Remember, he was a former first-round pick in this league by the Dallas Cowboys and has played some good football recently. Certainly played some good football for Washington and got a lot of action in the preseason. But right now, Washington feels comfortable. You heard Sean Springs. If you didn't, you can listen to it at theteam980.com or by downloading the Odyssey app. But Sean said he is confident that Trey Amos is going to be ready from the jump to start as one of the outside corners. He is super high on Trey Amos, the second-round pick from Ole Miss. So he likes Lattimore and Amos outside, and Sanders still moving inside. If you trade Noah Igbinoghene, you know, they've cut Bobby Price, but you've got certainly a guy like Carlon Vigors, who I think they liked. We'll see if he gets released. I would imagine if they're looking to trade Igbinoghene, that there's a really good chance that Vigors makes the team. Anyway. All right, Jonathan Jones, obviously, is a part of this group as well. All right, done for the day. Back tomorrow. Chris up next.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student-athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple. but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.